The Old Testament reading is from Isaiah 55, beginning at verse 1. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money, without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live, and I will make you an everlasting covenant. My steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you. You shall run to you because of the Lord your God and of the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Romans 9, beginning at verse 1. I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience bears witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from their race, according to the flesh, is the Christ, who is God over all, blessed forever. Amen. But it is not as though the word of God has failed, for not all who are descended from Israel belong to Israel, and not all are children of Abraham, because they are his offspring. But through Isaac shall your offspring be named. This means that it is not the children of the flesh who are the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as offspring. For this is what the promise said: about this time next year, I will return and Sarah shall have a son. And not only so, but also when Rebekah had conceived children by one man, our forefather Isaac, though they were not yet born and nothing either good or bad, in order that God's promise of election might continue, not because of works, but because of his call. She was told, the older will serve the younger. And as it is written, Jacob I love, but Esau I hated. This is the word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 14th chapter. Now when Jesus heard about the death of John, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Now when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowd away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They said to him, "We have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. And those who ate were about 5,000 men besides women and children. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this day is the gospel reading already just recently read to you I'll read a portion of it. They need not go away. Jesus said to his disciples, you give them something to eat. So far the text. Quick question. Have you ever been pushed beyond your limits? If you're not raising your hand, you probably are agreeing with that question, that you have been pushed at times beyond your limits, out of your, kind of in over your head, right? You've had that kind of feeling like, when will it stop so I can get a rest, right? I think all of us have felt that way, and I heard a story some years back, and I recall it because it illustrates that very truth about the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. They had a group of cadets that had to take the exam as they desired to serve in that Canadian police force. The question on the exam was a hypothetical one. Here it is. You arrive at a gas station explosion in uniform to find numerous injuries, and you notice an impaired driver whom you recognize as the wife of a senior official. Nearby, a woman is giving birth and struggling. Then you look into the canal and you see someone trying to swim in the nearby canal and you don't know if they'll make it. And suddenly a fight breaks out, which could cause serious injury and damage. In a few words, describe your course of action. One applicant replied simply, I would remove my uniform and mingle with the crowd. He was over his head and knew it. Our text that I just read from Matthew's Gospel, the 14th chapter, is a familiar story. In fact, that story of the feeding of the 5,000 plus is recorded in each of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew is very precise and concise, and I appreciate his informative sit rep, his situation report. It's a concise summary of the situation while Jesus is preaching and teaching and performing miracles in and around the towns of Galilee. John the Baptist's disciples approach Jesus with some awful news that John the Baptist has been beheaded. He's been killed by Herod. And you imagine that Jesus, when he hears this, exhausted from doing ministry and miracles and healing, and he hears this, and Matthew tells us, because as he heard this news, he had to get away, seek some seclusion and rest. He and the disciples move to the boats and they take a shortcut across the straight sea. While the crowd is sitting on the shoreline and listening to him, he goes off, heading for a place which is called in our text a desolate one. Get away from it for a while. Absorb. Maybe do some reflecting on John and his ministry. It's a tough time. He seeks seclusion and rest. And so he goes away. While he's with his disciples at a distance, some ways away, one of the east shores of the Sea of Galilee, the crowd gathered there, thousands, begin to hear what's going on, and they see them take off in that boat and they start following along the shoreline, which is a much longer route, obviously. They hot-foot it to where Jesus' boat comes ashore and they're going as fast as they can, but they're building the crowd as they go, stopping at villages along the way while Jesus and his disciples are in a desolate place, talking about changes and what's going on, and now the death of John. And so Jesus is in a time of prayer and consultation with his disciples. And when Jesus comes out, he sees the large crowd again, now bigger than before as it's gone from village to village. He had compassion on them. That's what our text says. He had compassion on them. And he healed their sick. This morning, I'd like to take a look at the gospel lesson from the text of the followers, the disciples of Jesus, and what we can learn from Jesus' response to being pushed beyond limits. Following Jesus was a pretty busy time for the disciples. They had just returned from their mission and now are back with Jesus and watching all the dynamics of healing and preaching and teaching by Jesus. They've heard and witnessed Jesus say and do incredible things. And they're amazed and probably wondering, how will this all end? If the death of John has now occurred, what's next? In all the chaos and activity, the word comes about John and they are saddened. What is your desolate place? When things kind of get unmanageable or extremely busy or frighteningly so sometimes, do you go to a desolate place? And if so, where is it? Maybe you can't find a desolate place anymore. I don't know. Personally, when I need time to reflect, and oh, by the way, my background is Finnish, and Finnish people like to brood, we call it. Seriously, we would sit in a 200-degree sauna and brood and reflect. I can't do that very much anymore, but I like to sit in my garage, open the door, and just reflect. Study God's word, hear God's word, just to be alone for a little bit. Maybe you have such a place. Why go there? Why did Jesus go to a desolate place? I guess to get away from it for a while, as we all do. Maybe you have that special place where you get away from, if you have kids or a busy schedule or work, a calendar that's full, demands. But what about the spiritual fatigue? You ever feel that? Like there's too much on me. I don't know. This congregation has a lot of abilities and talents and love. But we all get tired, don't we? We all get worn out. I'm sure the disciples did, as you and I do. I would like to think, and maybe because I'm a pastor, I like to think that this place right here is a place not so desolate, but a place where you come to receive the strength and the fulfillment through the body and blood of Christ for the forgiveness of sins. I believe that was Christ's intention too. Come to me, receive my love, grace, strength, and forgiveness here through his body and blood. The Lord's table, his abiding word, his promise, never leave. So when our limits are pushed, this is a starting point. I find it interesting then, not only for following Jesus can have its stresses and strains, but next Jesus says something that is unbelievable. The disciples say, as it was getting evening, they said to him, "This is a desolate place. And the day is now over. Send the crowds, Lord, into the villages so that they can eat." Makes sense. Perfect sense, doesn't it? And what does Jesus say to the disciples? Very simply, they need not go away. You give them something to eat. Now, that would be over the top, pushing the limit from Jesus to the disciples, I would think. They have a very normal reaction that any of us would have. Are you kidding me? Excuse me? Feed them? What resources do you have? Well, we have 5 loaves, 2 fish. Now, even if you took the fish and sliced them with a micron cutter, how far would it go? If you have 5 loaves and they were kind of flat loaves of bread, how thin must you cut those to feed 5,000 and others? I'm not sure that Good Shepherd Lutheran Church could handle that kind of crowd right now. If I said to you, I'm not sure who does all the goodies in the back, and in Indiana, they have something called a pitch-in. You ever had those? I never heard of a pitch-in until I moved here. We had potlucks. I mean, those are, but pitch-ins apparently are Indiana Lutheran things, right? Now, if I said to you, all of you here, I said, hey, we got about 7,000 or 8,000 people going to be here right after the service. Can we have a pitch-in? Think about that. And if someone said, all we got is a little box of donuts and coffee, you can identify, I think, a little bit with that kind of demand over the top, pushing the limit for the disciples. We have 2 fish and 5 loaves, Lord. Feed them. That's a big call and a big demand and a huge pitch-in. But the text is not only about a miracle, but about Jesus, about the power he gives the church to feed. And I'm not talking about fish and bread. Not talking about a pitch-in like we have at churches, but his power to feed the church. His love and compassion in a world that is hungry for truth. We feed, as I said, on his body and blood in bread and wine this morning. And all over Christendom, that is happening. It's not simple bread and wine. It is in with and under. That's where Jesus is. In with and under the bread and wine is the body and blood of Christ. Why? Because that's power for us, energy for us, spiritual resources that we need to fulfill the command. Feed them, Jesus says. It's not just food. 5,000 plus women and children. Didn't matter. There would be enough because Jesus is doing the feeding. How much power is there in that word and sacrament of Christ? For you personally, individually, we do that. But for what? To continue ministering to God's people wherever they are. When we talk about pushing the limits, let me ask you a quick question. How much power does the Holy Spirit have? Has the Holy Spirit run out of power? Yes or no? No. Has Christ stopped loving God's people everywhere and anywhere? No. Command and the demand to feed God's people, we got it. We are not overwhelmed, understaffed, pushed to the limit. It's about his power to the individual Christian and then the church. We rather could ask, what can I do? Who can I reach out to with that good news of forgiveness? His suffering and death on the cross paid the price. We have life. And the church is the vehicle. You are the vehicle. It's not just one pastor preaching. That would be overload. But it's God's people in the pews and outside the doors. That's where the power happens. That's where God's word is at work in you and through you. The Holy Spirit's not out of power. You, everyone here, has a spiritual gift. God didn't leave you out. The Holy Spirit didn't say, well, I'm sorry, but you get nothing. You have gifts here. And God calls on you to share those gifts, build the body, feed the people. What's your response? How do you respond? We can say, well, checked that block and went to church today, sang the hymns, took communion. I'm out of here. Well, you are. But you're never alone. That Holy Spirit and Christ Himself is with you. You come to this table, kind of a parallel to the text, isn't it? I found that interesting. Jesus says to the disciples, you feed the people. And they're like, but as soon as Jesus hands this out, the miracle happens that they are fully resourced. They feed the people. And I thought it coincidental a little bit that there were 12 baskets left over of leftovers, of fish and bread. 12 baskets. How many disciples were there? Yeah, 12 disciples. Enough for everybody and then some. Now you can, maybe they took them home. I don't know. It doesn't say. They didn't throw them away. I'm sure somebody had use for them. I'm sure the disciples, perhaps they took them with them and shared them as they went. I don't know. That's not important. You come to this table as the people in Jesus' day came to his meal. Jesus comes with his bread and wine, but much more, his body and blood. What he does with it is forgiveness, new life, and hope. That's what you will receive shortly. Question remains, and I end with this, what will you do with it? May the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and always. Amen.